Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration today is the gospel text, which I just read. And again, the theme of this text and of this night really is surprised by glory. You know, we live in a world where we're surprised by a lot of new news and events all over the world, but often it isn't really good news or encouraging news. And sometimes we even might ask ourselves, being in the Christian faith, where is God in all of this in the world? You ever ask that? Where's his hand being played out at this particular event or this thing in the world? Early on in my Christian faith, because again, the true Christian faith really is confronted often, and people come and ask us for an answer that we have for the hope that is in us. The people need answers. Many times, we are surprised by glory when we go in and we find the answers that God does give us in his holy word. But our text tonight, this is really the setting. These are just common people like you and me. They're religious people. Their life is centered around family. They have a strong faith. They go to synagogue. In our text, Joseph is known and marked as a just man. And you can see that by his actions. But so often, as it is when God begins a major redemptive act in the world, so often it's hard to see his hand. And again, if we have any level of Christian maturity and faith, we know by experience there are just times when you can't see that hand moving, you have to trust his heart because you know he loves you and he desires that all things work together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's a big promise. Both Joseph and Mary here are center stage in this event of life. One of the major redemptive fulfillments of messianic prophecy. We've all heard the text, "Behold, I'll give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." And not only a virgin will bear a son, a fleshly son into the world. Oh, by the way, his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Do you ever think what that looks like? Really? Well, in this little town of an area of Judea, the angelic activity was very busy over the last few days. The first angel to appear in the glory light of heaven with that divine radiance as he came to see Mary first. And she was surprised by his words when he told her that you will conceive and bear a child. You are that fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. It was hard for her to understand the words. She's just a simple young girl. She's never beheld anything divine, the presence of an angel. And oh, by the way, every time an angel appears in the text, most of the time, people are hitting the ground in fear at the very power and the glory of the light that is present. But Mary did exactly what a good, faithful, Jewish, synagogue-going girl should do. She told him, she says, "I don't understand these words. I don't know a man. So how can these things be?" But Mary's final words was a word of faith. It sprung deep down from her religious education. the example her family lived before her. And she said to the angel, "Let it be done to me according to your word." That's exactly what God wants us to respond. We don't have to try to figure everything out in this scientific modeled world that we live in today. We don't have to figure out how an all-powerful, an all-knowing, all-powerful creator can reach down and touch a virgin and bring forth a son. That he himself will occupy the flesh in the incarnation. Somewhere after this short period of time, after Mary had received this revelation and had accepted it into her life, Joseph found out that she was pregnant. And I imagine that in real life there was some dialogue that went on. And we're talking about regular human people. Faithful people. The text calls Joseph a just man. That means not only a real just man in the New Testament scriptures was not only one that knew and abided by the word of God and the law of God, but he also abided in the right spirit, a spirit of love. Not just a dead letter to execute religion and judgment upon things that weren't right. No, that's exactly what happened. I no doubt he went to Mary and asked, "How did this happen?" And Mary told him how it happened. I'm sure of it. And yet here's a man trained in the scriptures, a devout man. And yet the concept was so hard for him to grasp. It wasn't even a faith issue. He just didn't know why this thing should be. And because he was motivated to do the right thing according to Jewish law, he was going to put her away quietly, respectfully. But he had to fulfill the law, which protected their tribes and their lineages throughout the tribes of Israel. There was a lot at stake here. But again, as Mary was surprised by glory, Joseph is about to be as well. You see, as he chose to put her away secretly, but all the time he was doing it and he was making the plans, our text says that he was thinking about these things. He was ruminating on these things. They were the forefront of his thinking. He wanted to do the right thing. And it says, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David.'" Did you notice the lineage back to his father David, from which the Christ was to come? David's greater son. He says, "Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." He came to her, he came to him. Both of them were surprised again by glory and divine revelation. If you've never experienced anything like this, how do you process this? How do you deal with this? Again, Mary handled it in the right way. She said, "Let it be done according to your word." And immediately after Joseph heard this angel tell him what was going on and what was happening, the conception of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in Mary, it says, "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him." You see, this major redemptive act in human history, a fulfillment of prophecy, one of the greatest fulfillments of messianic prophecy in the scriptures. All of us sitting in here tonight may not have been set at a time of a redemptive act of God in our lives that were as major as this. But I would propose that every time that the Holy Spirit calls out to you during these festivals from the Word of God or a church service or when you're at a funeral or you're at a wedding and you hear the tradition, you hear the Word of God coming through. That is the voice of the Holy Spirit calling out to you. He too wants to surprise you with glory. Because the scripture says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. But open that heart, receive that glory into your heart. Because that word is full of life. There was times when Jesus taught things that were very difficult. Like when he talked about the bread of life sermon. Unless you eat of the body of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no part of him. Many of the disciples that followed him around the countryside, not only the 12, but there was a great contingency of people that followed and were regular disciples, almost there all the time. And they said, that's a hard saying, who can handle it? And they went away. What Jesus didn't do is he didn't run down after they're all departed and had rejected that hard saying. He didn't run down off that mountain and say, oh, hold it, guys, come on back. I'm sorry, I kind of missed that first chapter in the Dale Carnegie of How to Win Friends and Influence People. I shouldn't have been so hard on you the first day. But he didn't do that. He let them make their choice based on the revelation they heard. And then he turned to the 12 and he asked them, are you going to go away also? Well, again, Peter, he was just always front and center. He says, Lord, where should we go? You have the words of eternal life. And this text tonight, speaking of the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel with us, God amongst us, taking up human flesh and tabernacling amongst us, for what purpose? To pay for that sin that separated us when Adam fell into sin. Reconciling us back to the Father. By what? The very blood of that young babe born in the manger this night. As the writer of Hebrews says, the blood of bulls and goats, for sin you did not have pleasure. But see, it's written in the scrolls, a body you have prepared for me. I have come to do your will, O God. Whenever the word of God comes to us and we're convicted by the story, we need to respond even as Mary and Joseph did. And how did they respond? In obedient faith. Let it be done to me according to your word. And maybe in tonight's text, you might just believe the angel's report. Maybe a little glory will stream into your heart tonight. For born to you this night in the city of David is Christ the Lord, the Savior. Do you believe that? Has your heart entered into a little glory? Well, I pray this Christmas that the veil would be pulled back, that maybe even you might get an angelic visitation this year. And the salvation that God prepared in that manger for you might become a very big reality in your life. Amen.